Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? May be curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast.
Hey, hey, hello everybody and welcome to another China Business Cast. Mike is here with me as always. Hey, Mike.
What's up? So yeah, it's the last, I mean, let's have a little bit of fun. It's New Year's Eve when we're publishing this. Last one for, definitely for us. And it might be one of the last shows on all, out of all the podcasts on the internet, kind of right on December 31st. So do we get an award for that or what do you think?
We can do that, but it's a matter of time zones, I guess. So it's kind of, you know, the guys in California, Apple, this is where the center of the universe is for them, I guess.
Yeah, so I think this might be the time zone. So if any listeners knows exactly, maybe they could shoot us a note and let us know. That'd be pretty cool.
For sure, for sure. So guys, let us know. It's really urgent and you know, podcast is up soon. So let us know.
Awesome.
Just email.
So any New Year's resolutions coming up for you, Shalom?
Well, I don't do these resolutions, New Year's resolutions so much, blah, blah, sorry. And I was kind of doing more exercise. I started doing capoeira and I do meditations for a couple of years now, which actually is really good. But I am, you know, I haven't spent time in China. I mean, I was in China many times last year, but I moved back to Israel. So I'm kind of losing my Chinese. So I should make more effort in studying that. So I'm losing that. That's, I guess, my resolution then.
I can motivate you. It was my New Year's resolution last year. And again, this year's learn more Chinese.
You keep going with that?
I made a mistake. I think a lot of people do that to just say like lose weight or wake up earlier. I think, you know, one thing I should do is put a goal. So I think I'm about HSK level 2 now. For those that know, it's like a standard test. So I haven't taken a test, but I mean, I think from my studying, I could pass it. So I'm going to a little bit ahead of myself, but maybe double that HSK 4 by next year. 3 should be easy, I hope, but let's put 4 on there, put a little bit of pressure, yeah.
My goal was HSK 4 when I was in China, and I thought I wouldn't pass the test, but I did.
Woo! Wow, great.
So I'm on HSK 4, but HSK 5 is much, much harder.
Wow, okay. Well, then hopefully I can get that.
Go for
year.
The 4. Awesome. Go for the 4.
Cool. So anybody else out there? Yeah. Love to hear what HSK level you're at. Maybe you guys can also let us know. That'd be cool. We can share on the show. And then your New Year's resolution is going to be a baby, right? So it's coming out any day.
Any day now. Baby is coming. Due date is January 2nd.
Wow.
So by the time you'll hear this, you listen to this, I might be at the labor room. I don't know.
Wow.
And we're kind of getting ready for that, you know, bringing in the crib, buying a stroller. Well, that was a couple of months ago. But, you know, we're really trying to take stuff out of the house and really making a lot of room for that, for the new stuff coming in. We don't want to hold too many things. It's kind of having the minimalism mindset. You know, you don't need really so much stuff for what you hold, and whatever you can get rid of, I don't know, sell, give away. I think it's good. I think it's good, really helpful for your peace of mind.
Agree, totally. It's hard though with a baby. You're probably going to buy a lot of stuff, baby stuff though, but maybe less for you, but you'll see.
Have more experience, let's see.
Yeah. All right. And then our mastermind's coming. We're getting some applications in. So if you want to try to squeeze yourself in to get considered for our New Year's 2016 for your China business, you can go to chinabusinesscast.com/mastermind and let us know. Maybe also shoot us an email that you applied and we will get right on it.
Yeah.
So now on to the show. Everybody's been waiting for it. This is a good one. I'm really excited to share this with everybody.
That was a great one with Bruno. I really, really had amazing time and, you know, all the things that we spoke about. And guys, there are amazing, amazing insights. And we know Bruno for a few years now. And this one is a must. Really must say that.
All right. So let's just dive right in.
Dive in. Go, go, go.
Looking for other China business podcasts? Then check out limitlesslawai.com, where you'll discover engaging interviews with international business leaders all around the country. Tune in to find success faster in China.
Hey guys, welcome to another China Business Cast podcast recording. And this time we have Bruno Ben Said, and I'm really excited to have this guy here. He's got lots of experience. He's a good friend, and I've learned a lot from his insights and our conversations. So really glad having him here. You're most welcome to add your questions and join in. So Bruno, welcome to our China Business Cast podcast. Really, really glad to have you here. It's a real honor because I know how much experience and stories you can tell us. Mike is obviously here as well as co-hosting.
Yep. Yeah. Thanks for coming, Bruno. It's really a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm really looking forward to it, to myself too.
And Bruno, before we started and we went back and forth on what we're going to speak about and the type of the topics that we talked about, you said that we can actually speak for a few hours. So we're going to try to skim through those pretty fast. And maybe if people have more questions and get more of these, maybe we'll have you another time.
Okay.
All right. So let's start. Generally speaking, I want to know what you've been up to these days. We're following the interviews and your LinkedIn page, and you're all over the place. So kind of focusing us up.
All right. So I'm actually tweeting a lot, but I think it's what is important is I've been speaking at conferences on corporate venture, on early stage investments, and different other topics. Because I think the early stage investment scene is moving very fast, especially in Asia and Europe, and I want to be on top of it. So, which is why you've seen probably a lot of my tweets and contributions lately.
Oh yeah, especially the last two or three months, I've seen from what you sent me quite a lot.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. By the way, I'm also involved into I would say non-tech topics are related to animal welfare and you know, how to become how to eat better, and this is why you've also seen a lot of me lately, in addition to probably what happened in Paris last month got me very busy and worried. So I hope we can go past that, but you know that this is why you saw me a lot in the in social networks.
I see. You're in Paris now, right?
I am. Okay. I switch my time between Paris and China, and also sometimes Singapore and the U.S. And I commute, I would say, almost every month.
That's a lot of travel.
It is. But that's okay. The Cathay Pacific, Air France are pretty okay. So I can't complain. You know, I've seen people have much worse lives than mine. So I'm happy and blessed that you know, I have a beautiful family, good friends, good support, and so I think we are very privileged to have the life we have now. So this is something to be said, because when people listen and talk about tech and talk about what to do, never forget that we have also a role to play for other people. So hopefully in the next few years, this is something I want to be doing more, and that I'm already doing at home, but I want to be doing more of it. So you'll see more and more of my tweet spams and Facebook messages for good causes.
But, I'm following.
Anyway, let's talk about the investment if you want.
Sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Bruno. I think a lot of people in the tech scene in China know you as, you know, AngelVest, and I remember even Mobile Monday or earlier, right? And
that's right.
So I think today we're talking tech in China, and I think AngelVest has been one of the pioneers in angel investing in China. Do you want to maybe fill in people listening today that might not be familiar?
Yeah, sure. So just a quick word on Mobile Monday before we move to AngelVest. So Mobile Monday is a global organization that it's apex, I would say, a few years ago when we had so many chapters open to get the community, the mobile community, together to understand more about mobile. Now, mobile has become part of our everyday life. Everybody has a smartphone, at least the people we know. And those who don't have a smartphone will have a smartphone in the next few years. So it was very much a grassroots community that we had a lot of pleasure starting for us, as far as we are concerned, in Shanghai. Lots of good friends also started it in Beijing. And you still have a lot of chapters active. Shanghai now has a few events, But as you've seen, there's a lot of more events. So we feel our mission accomplished in a sense.
Okay, cool.
Because now everybody understands and breathes mobile. Mm-hmm. And the best example of this is the new accelerator that SOS Ventures, our friends at SOS Ventures, have launched, called Mox, and which is doing mobile only. That epitomizes the fact that, you know, our lives are mobile. We have different screens. Even now we have virtual reality, virtual kind of lives also sometimes. But everything is being mobile. So I'm happy that I've carried on that legacy now and started investing also into mobile and internet companies. So a quick word about AngelVest now. The group was set up quite a few years ago by Ted Lai and David Chen, then William Balbin, Wei Hopen, and myself joined, and we're now kind of running this organization, the five of us, that regroups about 100 angels, and now we are looking at about 40 companies in portfolio, and that took a few years. So we have a few exits and very good up rounds, but what is very important about the group is it's a group of friends. And when you're a group of friends, you tend to do good things together and regroup around some companies and you want to help them. So everybody is investing in different companies, but at the end of the day, it's all under the umbrella of AngelVest, which is looking at four chapters now around Asia, Beijing, Shanghai, Hong Kong, and Singapore. Hopefully we'll have more chapters tomorrow, but it is already a big and a huge effort to manage because this is a nonprofit actually group. We pay some analysts through the membership that which are the members, but this is very, very small. What we want is to foster and to help the community around Asia to grow bigger and to help these young entrepreneurs grow bigger in China and other markets that they're interested in. So to that extent, I would say this is also part of what we do for the community to help. And we're very happy that we now have over 30 and soon 40 companies in our portfolio. And I would say quite a lot of them are actually thriving. And these are startups. So some of them have difficulty. It's a tough journey for them. And we will talk about it. But raising funding is becoming more and more difficult in general. So I'm hoping that AngelVest is going to be able to help most of these companies raise this, you know, their full-on rounds and survive or sell, and be active in finding some new and cool entrepreneurs and projects. So,
cool. Well, yeah. Thanks for that. We kind of led into my next question. So you're saying it's getting more difficult to raise. Is that for your current portfolio, or is that for seed stage A round, or all across the board, or?
No, it's not for our portfolio only.
Okay.
And actually, that remark is stemming from not our portfolio, but from people I talk to at conferences and all the VCs I meet. Because I was myself a VC for a while, and I work with VCs in my daily job because I do fundraising and M&A for larger companies. And what these VCs are telling me is that they're becoming extremely picky on the project. So the time where almost any project got funded because there was a lot of money outpouring from the stock market into some, you know, shady funds and shady fund managers, and they just wanted some quick return. Now that time is definitely over. So I wouldn't say we are entering the winter of investment, not at all, but GPs and, I mean, partners in the funds are becoming more discerning in the types of project that they want to get into. And you see a lot more what we call pool deals, syndicates. And this is a trend that we're going to see more and more. So the lone investor that goes into a project and wants to and has what we call a proprietary deal flow, I think that time is over. You have a lot of demo days going around China for a bunch of incubator accelerators and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so the deals are becoming more public, more open. And also the way it's being, you know, invested is more in syndication and groups, you know, what we call club deals. So it is becoming more difficult, and you see more cautious and wait and see attitude towards getting, you know, waiting for the minimal viable product, getting traction. So there's going to be a lot of bootstrapping, more bootstrapping for entrepreneurs to be done, which is why it's going to be very important for them to pick the right, I would call that a partner, although I don't like the term because it's too generic, but at the very beginning of their existence, startups will need to have a good partner. Should it be AngelVest? Should it be Chan Accelerator? Should it be other groups? And by the way, AngelVest and Chan Accelerator are working very well together to fund these startups. So finding the right nest to get started is going to be so important. So you have also a lot of workspace slash training centers slash incubators, like what I see in Beijing called DD Up. And so these areas and these initiatives are meant to help the entrepreneurs to understand, you know, what are their strengths, give them maybe some early funding visibility. And it's very important for entrepreneurs to be discerning about that, because the next step are going to be extremely difficult for them. So how to start, the art of the start, I would say, if I paraphrase Guy Kawasaki, is now to pick the right co-workers and co-founders and the right environment to get started in. And there is a lot of choice. So you need to be doing a lot of research as an entrepreneur, because after that, this is what's going to be critical and deciding factor between I have visibility and I have traction and I have people working with me and I work alone in my room. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to get traction and things are going to come just by themselves. So it's going to be the difference between having good nights or sort of and having a horrible time just getting your startup off the ground. So that research, that part of research is essential because the time ahead is extremely difficult, as you know, Michael, as you know, Shlomo. Yep. Because you are entrepreneurs, you have been entrepreneurs, and now VCs are going to be even more demanding. Should you be Chinese or non-Chinese, whatever.
Except of what you mentioned for having pool investments of people, of investors coming together, do you see any significant trends in the size of investments or maybe going overseas? I definitely see this change in Israel. I mean, at the last 3 or 4, even 4 years, it's a growth of 50%. Year over year. So it's kind of maybe a wider trend. So except of the pooling one, maybe it's also a distinguished trend.
Shlomo, do you mind if I ask, the trend is being geographical in your opinion? So I can use that and try to answer the question.
I see. So I guess it's two questions. One is for the size of deals. Maybe if there is a distinction between China and out of China.
Mm. Okay. And second question, or
and the second one is if you see more trends, because maybe there aren't, it's harder to get more deals in China, maybe then Chinese investors are going overseas more and more.
Okay. So I think I'm going to address the second one first, because I can see a geographical topic here. Yes, there's interest for Chinese investors, as you know, being an Israeli yourself, that to go to Israel and to start setting up some cross-border funds initiatives. And I see a lot of myself, and there's kind of so many now between China and Israel. And I'm glad, because this is going to bring a lot of good tech to China and foster kind of a lot of cross-border understanding. It is also true, and I'm hopeful, that this is going to be also true for Europe. But now I see this mainly for U.S. I'm talking about cross-border initiative, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. U.S. and Israel, because these are huge tech centers. Europe is more scattered, more fragmented, so it's more difficult for investors to actually go there. And because you don't go there, you go to Paris, you go to London, you go to Germany, you go to Sweden. So you have to actually cover a few places, where when you go to Israel, you go to Tel Aviv, you go to the neighborhoods. And you pretty much have done it, because you have so many startups in such a concentrated area. So it's a little bit more, it's a little bit easier.
Right.
So this is one of the trends. But I think apart from that, you know, I see a lot of new funds, GPs, you know, GPs means general partners of funds, just exploring, you know, what is going on in their own country as well, but more far away from the big hubs. And setting up or being established in new hubs. So there's a lot of new initiatives, especially in Hangzhou, for example. Mm-hmm. So Hangzhou, you've got some new tech zones where you have VCs, where you have government money. And this has been, you know, sputtering and mushrooming all over China. Although I see, for example, Hangzhou, because they have the proximity to Shanghai, very good universities, a lot of money. I can see them more
in Alibaba
than other areas.
Alibaba, I guess, as well.
Yeah, Alibaba is actually not part of the initiative I'm describing. But because of the Alibaba IPO, you've got a lot of angel millionaires over there that are going to be leaving or have left Alibaba and are going to be setting up their own incubation, etc. So I can see that as a trend. A lot of these new areas where you groom a certain number of startups within the tech hub that is being the initiative of a local government. And I can see this also at the proximity of very good universities, same for Nanjing, also Chengdu. And so you got a lot of these new areas. So this is, I would say, the trend that I see. So either it's cross-border or it's very local, but you see a lot of the deal flow not originating from Beijing, Shanghai, Shenzhen, Guangzhou, etc., but more from other areas. And I think we'll be doing more travel in the future, or do a lot of more conference calls on WeChat to understand what the new tech environment in China is about. So as for the size of the deals, I don't see a huge difference. And again, we need to differentiate what stage we're talking about. As far as angel deals are concerned, we're still looking at between 2 to 500K US as a normal round. Mm-hmm. Valuations are becoming more reasonable, and so that means that the trickling, the effect in as far as the tightening of the money from the top is actually coming down and has an influence on the valuations for early stage startups. But you will still see huge rounds for very small number of companies. So which is, you know, sending me back to an interview of Reid Hoffman on Bloomberg TV a few weeks ago, where Emily was actually asking Reid Hoffman, the reporter was asking Reid Hoffman, is there a bubble and why are there unicorns? And he was saying, well, you see, there is, you know, no bubble, but there's still going to be some huge rounds in some unicorns. Mm-hmm. And these companies, because they have the traction, because they deserve their, you know, these huge rounds, and you'll still see them. For the others, it's going to be much more difficult. So it's like a double standard. And it has always been the case in venture capital. It's always a double standard. So some entrepreneurs never are able to raise money. And some of them, by magic, are always able to raise money. And this is
over and over.
Over and over. So it's kind of the poor gets poorer and the rich get richer. So don't take it as a philosophical, hyperbolic, discussion, but
want to keep opportunities open.
It's the story of life that you can see also happening in funding and raising money. Mm-hmm. Is that there are some people that are able to raise money more easily than others for a lot of different reasons that we can cover or not in this interview. But it's going to be there's still going to be in China as well as overseas, mm-hmm, huge rounds for companies that have huge traction. And you will see starting now to happen in China and elsewhere, some of the unicorns becoming, you know, what we call goats or centaurs, then goats, then nothing. Like, Venkle, I assume, and other social media in China. And I mentioned Venkle because that was a huge e-commerce company a few years ago. And now you don't see them too much. You will see a lot of so delisting. Now, I see Light in the Box, they lost a lot of money and their numbers are down. 360 is delisting to becoming private. So there's a lot of movement. I think the world is changing actually faster than we think in terms of how it is possible to get funded, and the life of the company is becoming much more diverse than what we used to see in the past, where you grew and you went to an IPO and life was it. Or you went to trade sale. So now, you know...
So that's not the end of the road now.
Yeah, no. Not becoming public is a good outcome for a lot of people, because also some people don't like the transparency that comes with being public. That I can understand. Mm-hmm. And also from the IPO, becoming private again and to serve a lot of different other purposes. And, you know, because I was mentioning earlier, I was talking on corporate investment, the corporate VCs are becoming stronger and savvier, and this team up with experienced fund managers And these guys are, you know, basically scooping up the benefits of all these companies that are, you know, that have been well funded, mm-hmm. and that now they're reaching a ceiling. And so this is where a lot of corporates are buying these assets, either at a discount or no discount. But a lot of people are getting more active. And also, it's one of the reasons for that is investment and the startup is not a taboo anymore. And everybody wants to be or to have a startup mentality. Everybody wants to be nimble, agile in their company. And now marketing people are appropriating. They are basically owning that terms in the corporations. And they are pushing, not everybody, but they are pushing to have these kinds of investment groups. Mm-hmm. And they have the life that they have. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But that really creates a lot of enthusiasm, and that means that a lot of new actors are going to be playing into that that playing field in a much better and savvier way than it used to do in the past. So you used to think about corporate ventures or as a lot of dumb investors that overpay the assets, and now you see a lot of formerly VCs that come to corporate and that bring a lot of realism. Into mm-hmm. Into investment and setting up incubation and setting up startups and investment, and you have diversity in that.
I see
the world as changing. The size of deals, I don't see it as dramatically changing, but there's a lot more cross border and expansion into inner provinces than we used to see in the past.
I see. I want to move a little bit away from the investment side and going more for a path of people who are part of the VC world. I learned to get to know it the last 3, even 4 years, knowing people like you, knowing other investors, speaking to companies, Israeli companies, been doing some of that. But kind of maybe there is a path or somebody who wants to start and get going, not yet in China, but interested in this field. What should they do?
So if they want to let's say that
they want to start, I don't know if they can right away start working for a VC in China, but doing China VC related things.
All right.
What's the best start?
If you want to start a career in that area, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So you have to look at, are you Chinese or non-Chinese? So it's obviously easier if you're Chinese to be part of the ecosystem than if you're not. Second, if you're not Chinese, you have to be associated with initiatives like incubators, like workspaces, like even conferences and training, so that you start being acquainted with what a startup is about and being a node. Yourself, you know, Michael, Shlomo, I don't want to call you nodes, but you are. You are hubs for a lot of people to come to for resources. And you've done that because you've had a lot of different lives when you were and you are in China. And this is the advice that I would give to other people that are non-Chinese and don't have a financial background or don't have an MBA, is basically do something for the ecosystem and don't think about the rewards. Very important. I mean, everything I do, and my mom hates me for that because I tell her, I help people. I said, well, I hate this word. You don't make any money. so she does not understand what, you know, the new economy is about. It is about, you know, helping someone, you know, very startup grind kind of spirit. And then, you know, something will come back. And this is why I salute what Eric and his team does in China, is you do things for the community and good things will come back. And when I say good things is meaning, you get speakers in front of an audience, or you get to help, you know, some startups on your spare time on doing legal, on doing maybe a spreadsheet, on doing PowerPoints. You know, whatever you can do to understand and percolating the vocabulary into your being, so that you understand, you know, how to talk and how to be a startup. And then I think this is the best way to get traffic into, sorry to use all these buzzwords, but you get traffic into your brand, to get traffic into your website, to get traffic into, I want to talk to Shlomo, and then you get LinkedIn and Facebook and WeChat traffic because you help the community, you do your podcast, you do other things. So don't think about immediate rewards. Mm-hmm. You need to eat. So obviously you need to have something sustainable, but it doesn't have to be big. But in the meantime, you do a lot of things for the community in order to understand what the ecosystem is about. And you will also benefit from the changes of the ecosystem. You will see it changing. And then because there is so much of cross-border movement, people from overseas coming to China and they need help in investment. And then you'll be that person for, you know, because you're there and because you've been there long enough. So another joke I have with my, you know, Chinese friends is to say, well, you know, you've been around for a while, so we trust you. Say, I think it's a joke because it doesn't say I'm good. It just says I've been there long enough. And the fact that I'm still around.
That's China, but that's China, Bruno.
It's true.
That's very
I know, but I want to tell people because, you know, your audience is from all over the world.
Right.
That when you stick to a place, when you stick to your role, when you do it ethically, responsibly, and, you know, you help people on a consistent way and you build a brand for something and you keep doing it, then good things are coming. And, you know, you basically at the end, you can benefit from it. Should that be from people from overseas coming and see you or in China or even from the Chinese that see you as someone trustable that can be also a link and a bridge to somewhere else. And that they see you here long enough and smiling and always trying to help. That's very important. So cherish that. And even if you're not the best at what you're doing, and trust me, I am not the best at one single task, but with time, I've managed to acquire and understand a lot of different things that people are doing and becoming helpful to a lot of people. So, and hopefully that shows today because I have done investments and people are coming to me for help, even though they know that I won't be investing in their company, but I can give them advice and I can connect them to other people. So that's good also.
Bottom line is that your mother wanted you to be a lawyer or a doctor, right?
No, I think she wants me to be rich, and she doesn't understand the different ways that one can be happy nowadays. So she's my mom, so she wants the best for me. But I think there's a bit of a disconnect at the end of the day on what she expects and what I think is right. So
true.
That's okay.
I think we all have that, Mom.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, understanding the business environment in China isn't simple, nor is it for the faint of heart. With China still topping the ranks as a destination for global expansion, demand for tried and true strategies to foster success in the China market are at an all-time high. What if you could glean wisdom, perspective, experience, and understanding by hearing from professionals with combined decades of success in China? Well, that's exactly what Limitless Laowai Business Podcasts are all about. Longtime expat and entrepreneur Ali Mona sits with seasoned international residents all over the country to capture their stories of successes, failures, tips, and tricks for living and working well in China. With over 150 shows already launched, covering topics ranging from cross-culture management to expat finance, startup law to effective job search and training and so much more, Limitless Laowai Podcast will give you an advantage you need to find success faster. Learn more at www.limitlesslaowai.com. That's limitless, LAOWAI.com.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fascinating, Bruno. Thanks again. So, you mentioned it earlier. I think probably have more entrepreneurs listening than investors is my hunch. So they're always basically drooling on tips of how to win over an investor. Of course, that could be a whole course. But is there like a couple of tidbits, like team? I guess there's always the factor, right? There's a market fit, the traction, the team, those different factors.
Right. Okay. So we will have, we're not going to spend too much time talking about different geographically, but wherever you are in the world, it is always easier to raise funding where you originate from, because people can recognize your degrees, they can recognize the social environment you grew up in, and they can relate to it. And investors are people, and they need to relate to the person in a human way. So you have to be aware of that. So you go to a new country, it is more difficult. So assuming you go to China and you want to raise funding in China, it's becoming more difficult. So try to reproduce what I've just said by just having a co-founder that is Chinese.
Okay.
So, and not any co-founder. It has to be someone that makes sense. So degree matters. The track record matters. The language that you can speak. I'm not talking about foreign languages, but if you're able to talk the lingo and if you're able to understand marketing, if you're able to get traction, to understand what is a campaign, to promote a service, to promote an app or anything else, that is extremely important. Because what I see a lot is entrepreneurs, many of them have the same idea. And you've heard that, but it is true. You are not the only one to have the same idea. So don't think that you're unique. Yeah, you're unique because you're yourself. You are very specific, but someone else can do something extremely similar. So what is important for investors, what we see over and over, is you need to have a good team. And when I say having a good team, that means at least have a co-founder. Being on your own, it's not a crime, but the probability, you know, what studies have shown is the highest probability for people succeeding is to be two, not three, not one. And I guess you've seen that statistics already. So having a good team and a team that can convince investors that they are working together, they have worked together, is important. I've seen founders that are alone and then don't understand that they don't raise money is because you're alone. You basically, you're only bringing 50% of the equation and people need 100%. So they need to relate. So if you're somewhere, for example, if you're in a foreign country and your project is based in China and then you do back and forth, it's extremely difficult, for example. So you need to have someone, a team on the ground. So having a local presence is important. So at the end of the day, your ability to convince an investor that you will be able to execute is actually more important than anything else. So the ID, the sector, yes, it is important because you don't want to do something that everybody has done. You want to be innovative in a way. You want to be solving a problem, yes, in something that is growing fast, in an industry that is big. Yes, yes, yes. But at the end of the day, what I see as an investor, because I have lost money on quite a few startups as well, is, you know, where I've lost money is where I was not diligent enough in doing the due diligence on the team. So the guys were okay, but they had never worked together. And I won't mention names because it's not nice, but they had not worked together. They had the illusion that their degrees were going to help them from running the company down. And also they had succeeded in the past, so they will succeed in the future. So a lot of these beliefs are things that, you know, I'm trying to avoid. And I want people to have worked together, to have been through some kind of hell together or something that, you know, was extremely or difficult or marking in their career so that they understand at least when the situation is difficult, what they need to do, their ability to pivot. So, yeah, the team, the person, you know, the personality is something that is very, very important. And at the end, you need to relate to people. You know, Michael, I know you've... When I knew you, when we were in Shanghai and you were in Shenzhen, etc., yeah, yeah. I knew what you were doing. I related to you and your project, and I knew I wanted to be associated to it in a way. So I think your ability to communicate what you were doing, even though maybe you were not the best or you were not, you know, the top guy for the job, but at least I knew that if something was going wrong, you would be here to actually pivot and to make it right. I think this is more important than many other things. So we can elaborate a little bit more, but I think you need to create, investors to create a relationship with you and to relate to you in a way that is at different levels and so that they can follow and help you out when you have difficulty, not only when things are going right. So you need also, and by the way, entrepreneurs, what they are not doing enough, and they're not doing enough due diligence on their investors. So it is so important for entrepreneurs to really understand the ecosystem, that the environment that they for investment, mm-hmm. and be more analytical and cynical about, you know, what the money is about, what it is for. Be more realistic, cynical, and in a way, doing more due diligence on the people that are going to give him money or give her money, because it is it has to go both ways. It's a mutual relationship.
Right. By the way, there are, I think, people that can execute maybe partially by themselves. Maybe it's not investable then, but they can still make money. That's okay. What I think.
Yes. A lot of, actually, I was reading an article yesterday talking about start a SME, a small and medium-sized enterprise. Don't start a startup. Startup is synonymous to high growth and high trouble and high dilution. And by dilution, to the people that don't understand the word, is basically getting some outside investors to dilute your shares so that you own less and less as the rounds go. So it is actually perfectly fine to start a company and to enjoy the life that you have in this company and do what you like. It doesn't have to be a startup. It doesn't have to be to get funded. So let's forget for a moment, about angels and VCs. Angels and VCs are actually representing a tiny part of the ecosystem. It is actually very small, although we make a lot of noise, and it drives the the imagination of entrepreneurs, and I don't blame them for that. Mm-hmm. But as much as this is attractive, it only concerns a very tiny percentage of the entrepreneurs population. All the rest, they should have a sustainable business model, and they should pick, the product that they are more comfortable with, and start small. And it's okay if you're still small after a while, as long as you can show that you can run a company. And then tomorrow is another day. Maybe tomorrow you've seen a need in the market that requires funding because you can't do it alone. And then you've spent enough, and you've shown enough that you can run a company, you can run a P&L, mm-hmm. profit and loss. That you can run accounting, you can run product, you can run different things. So all this experience having and making money on something that is humble is going to be useful one day. But don't be obsessed by the startup. I think this whole ecosystem is attractive. There's a lot of money running around and a lot of people getting rich. But it's also okay to be to be out of the rat race for a while and to have a sustainable and comfortable living. It's okay to be a consultant and to be good at what you're doing, especially at different steps in your life and your career. You start having kids. Maybe you want to work from home to be there for them. And at the end of the day, in 20 years from now, who will remember your startup? But you will remember your kids, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget about that. They awesome. Are your assets. So this is what I'm explaining to people. They say, well, you work less, or we see you less than before. I say, well, you see me enough because I do spend more time with my kids because this is a time that I think is important for them, I think. They will remember it. And if they don't remember it, that's okay. But at least I give them the best that I have for now, because I think it's a good time. And maybe they resent me for being strict with them one day. And maybe they don't reciprocate. But that's okay, because I have spent the time I want to spend with them now. And I intend to keep doing it. And if it is at the expense of running a successful startup, I think that's okay. As well.
Awesome. Thank you, Bruno. That was really good.
Yeah. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about maybe two or three interesting companies you've seen in China. I don't know if you can mention names or not, but any cool stuff happening?
Sure. I think everything that at the moment leverages on WeChat, I think, has a great potential. However, I just want to give a little bit of a warning to entrepreneurs. Because the traffic is moving to WeChat, this is also creating a risk for the company to be too dependent on WeChat first. And I'm taking the opportunity to also give a second warning to people, is that not everybody is interested in having a standalone or looking at a standalone WeChat kind of application. Because this is what I was mentioning to an entrepreneur lately, is when you are on a WeChat application, you basically cannot see the rest of your WeChat traffic. I mean, can you confirm that, right? So you look at a WeChat content and you're happy, but in the meantime, Michael and Shlomo have sent me 10 messages on WeChat and other groups. So I constantly need to switch back and forth. So I think building your traffic on WeChat is good, but you also need to expand to a standalone app. And even standalone app is not enough, because there was another article saying, who cares about your app? So you need to be multi, what we call omni-screen, so mm-hmm. multi-screen, and be a little bit about everywhere. But some of the projects I've seen, one of them is a company we invested in doing selling wine online on WeChat, mm-hmm. and they're doing well. one of the companies, of course, that I love, and I don't want to mention names because I don't want to pick one and make the others feel bad. But another company I invested in is doing augmented reality for translation. So as we go, you basically you swipe your phone at something, and then the translation appears, and this is offline. So it's a company I love because it solves so many problems. You're going to find countries, especially in Asia. I don't speak Japanese. I read a bit of kanji, but I don't speak Japanese. A lot of the katakana I don't read. So I'm happy to be swiping over some of the restaurants' menus and be able to actually see what I'm going to eat, because what I've seen in Japan is I don't want to blame my Japanese friends, is the Japanese don't speak too well English. And they keep talking to me in Japanese, which I find great, but I just can't reciprocate. And I just talk to them in Chinese, and that doesn't work. So that's a nice – everything related to augmented reality, virtual reality, drones – what drones can do. I think hardware startups also are pretty cool, and a lot of VCs are moving into hardware, but be careful. Not everybody needs your crappy gadget. So I see, and this is a discussion I'm having with Ben from Hacks. I see a lot of cool projects, but you know, I'm going to buy them and then I'm going to use them once or twice. And then what happens? It's going to end up in the dump or as a Christmas gift for someone else that you don't like, right? So, you know, be careful, because hardware is such that it moves extremely fast, and you don't change hardware as fast as you can change an app. So just be careful. But there's some cool IoT. IoT means Internet of Things, so connected objects. So if you have a compelling service around connected objects, and I see a huge trend around health. Health and connected object is something that is going to be huge. I mean, captors, sensors, everything related to your health. And even if it doesn't have to be on you, it can be on patients. It can be on people that are actually needing it. At our age, we probably don't need to have something on our heart all the time to check our heartbeat. Mm-hmm. I personally don't care. And, but I will probably care in 10, 20 years from now. So health and mobile health is going to be huge. So augmented reality, mobile health, doing things, leveraging on social network like WeChat, mm-hmm. and being on the screens is very important. So I apologize, it's been a little bit confusing for the answer, but this is a lot of different things I see at the moment that are exciting me, especially, I would say, because I have an engineering background, everything related to IoT is to me pretty cool. But that doesn't mean I would invest, because I want to see the scalability and what else and who else is in the market, because in these hardware-related markets, you need to be... you need to make sure that you're not going to be your lunch eaten by Xiaomi or someone else that is basically entering and dumping the cost. So as an investor, I have a lot of interest, but I'm also very cautious, and I still believe a lot in the scalability of a software application, should it be on a mobile or on different platforms.
Great. Well, yeah, Bruno, I mean, we have so much more we could talk about, but your time is very... very scarce and valuable, so we're gonna have to end it today. I think definitely. We're gonna want to get you back if you can. And is there ways people can thank you or check your websites, or you said Twitter, and what other ways can people find you and follow you?
Sure. I have. Do you want to mention online, or you can?
We'll link it on the site. But of course, people
they
listening
can reach out to me.
Okay,
can reach out to me by email, by WeChat, by LinkedIn. Everything is possible. I'm actually also on Viber, on WhatsApp, and a lot of different platforms. So I consult, I read all these, so they can reach out to me. And one piece of advice, this is not only for me, but in general, when you do approach, it is good to refer of someone that has advice to reach out to me. It's not mandatory, but it is helpful. In any case, just be specific on the why you need my help, and I will try to help out as much as I can, or connect you to the people that can. And I'm always happy to give advice. It's not always easy to invest. So if I can't invest, I will advise, and if I can't advise, I will invest. You know, this is. people can reach out to me very easily. I don't always reply very timely, but I try. And also Slack works. All these social networks and. I, and and messaging tools, I use them. So I'm happy to reach out, and hopefully we can do another session tomorrow. I mean, in the coming future, on some specific topics around fundraising, if that helps.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what appeals to investors and the psychology behind fundraising and investing. Because I think, and this could be the word at the end, is I see a huge disconnect between what investors want and what entrepreneurs think that investors want. This is huge. And this is particularly the case because entrepreneurs are younger and less experienced by definition. So they tend to have an angelic view of money is coming from the sky and is going to end up in my bank account because these guys are cool. Mm-hmm. And no, unfortunately, it's not. And the relationship actually between an investor and entrepreneur can be a very friendly one, but at the end of the day should not be seen as such. It should be seen as a mere transaction where someone wants to get return on their investment and a cool experience and something that they can do for the investors, granted, but it is not something that it is not charity, okay? So there has to be this understanding to be educated, and this is what I'm trying to do on the side. But this could be the topic of the next Periscope session.
Sure.
Yeah, let's do that. Schedule that one in the future. That works.
Okay.
Awesome.
Bruno, thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it. We'll be in touch soon.
Definitely. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Shlomo.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Have a great holiday.
Bye-bye.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.